Oh, now we're ready to go. Good. Our daf today is Lamed Ches in Nida. However, we are still holding on Lamed Zayin Lamed Beis at the two dots. Kashta Shloisha Yomim, right in the middle of the page. So, Iboilam. Shafta Mizel Mizema. Remember that the case that we had, in the Mishnah was, as it says, she was Shafta Minatzar, but not Minadam. So in other words, it was still a flow of blood, and then the fact that there was no longer any pain on that last day meant that we couldn't view it as Dam Koshin. So it became Dam Zivas. The Shaila is like this. Suppose that all of the Dam that was seen Mitoch Koshi. And as soon as the pain stopped, the Dam stopped. Now that case wasn't discussed in the Mishnah. What would be the din over there? Rav Chisda Amar Tameya. The point is that certainly right before Leda, you wouldn't have had a cessation of these symptoms. If they were Leda caused, they should be getting worse towards Leda. So it must be that was something else, and therefore must have been Zivas. Rabbi Chanina Emer Tahira. Rabbi Chanina says, on the contrary, what you've just shown me is that basically any dam that was there before was caused by the contractions of the ladum. So when the contractions let up, the dam let up. So if anything, it's a bigger kiddush to say the case where the dam didn't let up. I mean, we have to look at this as a marshal, Lamelak Shayatza Vachayalotab Lefanab, Biyadua Shechayalotab Shomelachain. I mean, if you have a king that's coming to town, and he sends ahead of him a couple days before he comes, he sends soldiers to set up the shop. So over here, the Leda is coming, the Vlad is about to appear, the Melak is on his way. So the Chayalim are the pains that you had before, but they, you know, they basically are now in the in their tents, and now you have a day in which things are calm, and then the Melech appears. Says Rav Chisda, that's the case. So Kosher came to boy nafish the chayalos tvei. What do you mean? The closer it gets to the day when the Melech appears, the more you have the soldiers marching down the street. So how come all of a sudden everything is quiet the day before? Very suspicious looking to me.
Nafish means more.
It's not. So let's take a look now at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Laila v'yayim kelele Shabbos v'yayimai, and here's the important word, Sheshavta min atzar v'lo min adam. The Mishnah says the case of Shofi that we're talking about is where there were no contractions, but the dam continued to flow. Now, to me, that sounds like Taima Diminatzar Valominadam. The only reason that we're giving this now a din of Shofi is because there was a continued dam. But had there been no more dam, Hamizeh Omizeh, if the dam had also stopped, the mashma'ut of the mission is that then it would have been Tohar. We would not have given it a din of Shofi. To Yufta Rav Chisda, because according to Rav Chisda, even if the dam also stopped, I would say it's Shofi. Amalach Rav Chisda says, Rav Chisda, I understand, you're reading the Mishnah backwards. The Mishnah is coming to tell me not only this case, the Mishnah is coming to say even this case. In other words, Lomi Boy, look, clearly in a case where the blood also stopped, so then it's obvious that what had happened before was not a phenomena of labor. Why did everything stop? It was false labor. But you might have thought that if the blood continues to flow and she doesn't feel now any pain, then actually there has not been any shock. Actually, the labor is continuing. And the point over here is that, Ema, I would think to myself that in a case, Minatzar, Valo Minadam, if it's a case where the tsar stopped, but the dam continues, I might have thought that ki hechi, the midam lo poska, mikosha nami lo poska. I would think that I could rely on the fact that if the blood continues to flow, the truth is the contractions are continuing. The point is, this woman is already into her third day of contractions here. She's weakened. She no longer even feels things. She's so weakened. So hatunva bi'almahu denakatla. What's happened to her is that basically she's become a little bit dazed and drugged. So she's not reporting the contractions, but the blood is an objective sign that the labor is continuing. That's what you would have thought. Kamashmalan, that we rely on the fact that she is not experiencing any pain to determine that this is not blood that's coming matmas later. That's a bigger kiddush. Koshiking, if there wouldn't have been any blood, then there wouldn't have been any question at all. Of course it would have been shof. That's how Rav Chisda understands the Mishnah. Now, let's see if we can bring a raya from the opening of the Mishnah. The Mishnah began like this. Koshta shlosha yomim betocha chadasar yom. There was koshi for 3 days out of the 11 days. The 11 days referred to over here, of course, are the Yud Alav Yom between each period. Yeah? So if for 3 days out of those 11 days she had koshi, and then shafta mi'ed li'ed, and then she had shofi for 24 hours v'yalda, ha'rezo yoledet bezot. That is a case where she is Tumea because of Zivas, because she had a day of Shofi. Now, I ask you to please consider for a moment Echidami. What is the case over here? Did the blood let up? Or did only the contractions let up? Well, I mean, if you're going to tell me that the case over here was that Kidiktani, like it says later on, that only the contractions let up, but she was still bleeding, why did the Mishnah suggest a case where there were 3 days of bleeding and then there was a full day of shofi? For heaven's sakes, even if there had been 2 days of bleeding and then a day of shofi, on the day of shofi there's also bleeding, according to you, because that's the case later, right? Elamai, it's got to be that the case in the Mishnah here is that the shofi was no contractions and no bleeding. And that's why, in order to make her a zava, which needs 3 days, we gave you a case where she bled for 3 days with pain, and then had a complete cessation of both pain and bleeding on the fourth day, before the later. So you see clearly that even in a case where there's a complete cessation, that's considered to be shofi, like I'm dying. It's the opposite of what Rabbi Chanina was saying. According to him, the cessation of both blood and contractions is a raya that the blood is linked to the contractions of the birth. But according to me, it's a bigger proof that what we had before was false labor. Because why did everything stop? Or the Mishnah is saying like me. So it's seen inside. Hechidami. Tell me what you think the case is. Ilei mekidiktani. Do you think it's like it says later on in the Mishnah that it's referring to Sheshavsa min Hatzar, V'lo min Adar, Shalom Ali Shalosh? Why do we need to say 3 days out of the 11 she was bleeding? What would be wrong if 2 days out of the 11 she was bleeding Bekoshi, and another day out of the 11 she was bleeding Beshofi? That would be 3 days of blood, 1 day of Shofi, and she would still be Tabea. So it's got to be Elalav Achikama. It's got to be that the introductory in the case of the Mishnah is to be understood like this. Kashtar shlosha, 3 days of bleeding with pain. Bishapsa mizel mizel, and then 1 day of no bleeding and no pain. Or we have the other cases. Kashtar shnayim, bishapsa mi'et le'et, and rezio that is bizot. To Yufta Rebbe Chanina, this shows Rebbe Chanina is wrong, because Rebbe Chanina claimed that if you have a let up of both blood and contractions, that on the contrary, it proves that the blood was only coming because of the contractions. Amalakha Rebbe Chanina, says Rebbe Chanina, let me explain the Mishnah to you, sir. Lo, this is not the pshat, the way you're reading it. Li'olam kediktani. The pshat is the way the Mishnah explains later on. That when it's talking about shofi, it's talking about shofi where there were no labor pains, but there was continued bleeding. I see you're timing, so why do I need a case over here where there were 3 days followed by a day? I will tell you. The chiddush over here is a big chiddush. Akamash malam. The afagav the matchil hakishui b'shlishi. V'shavta mi'ed li'ed t'meya. Lafuke mi Rabbi Chanina. The point over here, this is not the Rabbi Chanina that's arguing with Rabbi Chitzta. This is the Rabbi Chanina ben Achi Rabbi Yoshua in the Mishnah that talked about as long as the koshi began at one point on the third day, that it would, then the whole day, the rest of the day doesn't count. So here the Chiddush is, there were 3 days, meaning that there were 5 minutes of koshi on the third day. Afal Pikein, we use the rest of the day plus the 5 minutes on the next day to give us our 24 hours, and we don't care about the fact that there was koshi on the third day. Because according to Rabbi Chanina in the Mishnah, any koshi on the third day disallows you to use the third day as a day of shofar, right? That's what he said. If there's 5 minutes of koshi, this is a day of koshi. Next, please. So the chiddush over here is that even though there was koshi on the day of the third day, but the fourth day incorporating some of that third day could be shofi. 24 hours. From, let's say, 12 noon of the third day to 12 noon of the fourth day. So that tells us that Rabbi Chanina ben Achi Rabbi Yoshua is wrong. That's why the Mishnah opened it up that way. Not because we really need 3 days of bleeding in order to account for a shofi where there was no bleeding. There was bleeding. It simply means there was no pain. So therefore you have no riot to your sheet, Rabbi Chisda.
Has it been brought up the shofi with pain and no pain and blood?
According to whom?
According to
Rav Chisda?
I mean, I can say...
According to Rav Chisda, either way it's shofi.
Shofi means clear from everything, right?
No. Misha said beferish. Shofi definitely includes
bleeding
and no contractions. The question is, does it also include no bleeding and no contractions? That was the machlokas of Rav Chanina. There's no way to get away from the Mishnah statement. It says beferish sheshavsa min hatzar below sheshavsa min hadam. Right? That's a given. The question is, how far can we extend this? Okay. The next piece that we had in the Mishnah was the machlokas as to how long the labor pains can go on and still be considered labor pains.
Before we leave, so the Maskana is according to Rabbi Chanina?
No. They each explained Lishitasa. We didn't have a riot.
Okay.
What's the question?
Yeah, the Mishnah was about focus. 40, 50 days, according to Rabbi Meir.
She gives birth.
2 weeks, the last month.
She gives birth.
Well, I understand. I mean, sometimes you have Shmirat Hirayon for 5 months. You're going to tell me that all of that Shmirat Hirayon and the bleeding that was going on is all tar? It has to be connected to the birth, not just connected to the pregnancy. So how long do we give the pain before birth? Just view it as being associated with the birth.
Didn't they say within the 9th month? Within the
that was a machlokas. It's a three-way machlokas in the Mishnah. You better review the Mishnah, or you better stay for the Chazar every day. What do you think? Definitely worth considering. So we had our shitas in the Mishnah. Okay, so the first sheet that we had is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says 40 days or 50 days. So what do you mean 40 days or 50 days? You're telling me 50 days. Why do you have to mention 40 days? You're telling me up to 50 days. What's the point of mentioning 40 days? Last I heard, every time you have 50 days, there's always a 40 days in there somewhere. So why mention? If you're ready to give her 50 days of labor pains, why do you bother mentioning 40? Amar Fistavokasha, the point is that there are two different shiurim. It depends on the health of the mother-to-be. Kan b'chola and kan libriya. Normally, we would give her 40 days. However, if she's ill, and therefore has less, there's less muscle tone and so on, and she's more likely to lose control in terms of bleeding and pain, earlier, we'll give her up to 50 days, but we need to have basically a medical analysis of the patient. Omrib lady, in havlad mitaher, ela yamim haruyim liyot behem zava. When we said that the Torah was mitaheret, the yamim of ziva, that's only 11 days. But once the bleeding would continue outside of those 11 days, then it would all the way be back into the next nidais. In other words, if this woman during the course of her pregnancy had bled, not without any pain, she had bled, so she was a nida. She goes to the mikveh, her nidos is over. Now begins 11 days of zivas.
Pregnancy, she has to wait 7 days with
Nida? Yeah, the only difference between pregnancy and non-pregnancy is whether we have to be chayshish for Nida. But if she bleeds, she's a Nida. No different than any other woman, right?
Is it possible for a female woman to...
Why not? Happens all the time, of course.
She's spotting bleeding.
Spotting is bleeding, but she's still 7 days. She needs to keep her Tyra. That's her Nida. So now she becomes, for the next 11 days, a potential zava. What happens next is that she starts getting labor pains. Says lady, since the Torah was only matir, the yamei ziva of labor pains, the moment that she goes out of those 11 days, so she has labor pains now that extend into the next potential nidos period, which is following those 11 days. Then the Torah wasn't matir. Now, it's obvious that this seems to contradict Rabbi Meir. I mean, Rabbi Meir said 40, 50 days, right? So something is wrong here. But this is what Rav Levi seems to be saying. For Rav Amar, whereas Rav says no. Because once you go into the 11 days of Zivas, then you also have to take into consideration that the next 7 days are also part of Zivas. In the sense that they are given for counting Yomim of Tahira, right? So it's not only the 11 days, it's 11 days plus the next 7 days. Afilu b'yamim haru'uyin l'svirat zava. So even the days that you could count the Tahira for the Zava, those are still Zava days. She's not going to become a Nida if she became a Zava. She would have needed to have now a count to be Matiris her. Says Ravada Barava, listen here. If we take Rav to his conclusion, his logical conclusion, then basically all the rest of the pregnancy is Zava days. Because let's say she would have counted 7 days, but on the 6th day she would have bled again. She would have to start over again. Ad infinitum. She'd always have to keep starting over again. So there's no automatic return to Nidos states. Which means that all of the bleeding from this point of her zivas is all zivas days.
Provided she keeps bleeding the whole time.
Right. And that's the point. So the time the Rava filu yomim haruyin l'sfira stira ziva. If that's the case, even the days that could now be counted in case her 7 days were nistarot, and of course these days could also be nistarot and so on. So basically from this point on, she is going to be a Zava. So until, of course, she actually has the days of Tahira. And that means all her coming days are Ro'ui for Zivas. And only those first bleeding that she would have had, the Torah was Matami because of Nidas, right? Fine. So that would mean that according to Rav, I'm suggesting that as long as the bleeding began during the Yemei Zivas, it could continue to bleed and still be Tahar, Bimei Zivas. And the only time that the Mishnah said, we said before, the Mishnah said, Hamakasha Nida, is when she started to bleed during the days of Nidas. Then yes. Now, ask the Gemara, can you explain Rabbi Meir to me, please? Tanan, how many days could she possibly have bled and still be tar? Says Rabbi Meir, 40 days, 50 days. Now, according to Rav, fine, makes perfectly good sense, because basically, once she gets out of her Yudas days, all the rest of her pregnancy, it could be 80 days, 100 days, whatever. So Rabbi Meir is saying, okay, but 40 or 50 out of those days, depending on her health, before the Leda, she'll be tar. Okay, great. No problem. That makes perfectly good sense. But the lady, how's the lady going to understand this? Lady claims that the only dam that the Torah was matar was for 11 days. How do you get 40 days out of 11 days? If she started bleeding for 11 days, then the moment she continues bleeding into her next nidos potential, she becomes tame. She becomes a nida. So how could Rabbi Meir say, well, you can give her the dam koshi to be tahar even for 40 or 50 days? This makes no sense. But Levi's not arguing on the Mishnah. And the Mishnah's taking for granted that it could extend more than 11 days. So how could he possibly say such a thing? Amalekha Levi says, Levi, you know, it's amazing how blind you can be. Being convinced that you have everything worked out, and you didn't even bother listening to what I said. Did I ever say that the 50 days, Rabbi Meir says 50 days. What did he say about 50 days? Did he ever tell you that the 50 days are tahar? Show me where he says it's tahar. Rabbi Meir said she could have koshi, somachuleda, for 40 or 50 days. Well, if some of those days turn out to be nidos days, she's going to be a nida. So what? All I said was that the din of tahira of the blood of a zova is only during the 11 days. That's all I said. So how does that have anything to do with Rabbi Meir? Mika tani tahira bekulam. What? It said somewhere in the Mishnah that she's tahira. It says she can have 40 or 50 days of bleeding because of birth. No. So let's say, according to me, she started bleeding b'mei ziva. 11 days later, she's still bleeding. Okay, she just became a nida. 7 days later, at night, she goes to the mikveh. The next morning, she's still bleeding. My goodness gracious. But she's tahar for that further bleeding. Okay, another 11 days passes. We're now up to 29 days. Okay, she bleeds again the 29th day. She becomes a nida. For 7 days, she's still bleeding. She's still a nida. Goes to the mikveh that night, now she's tahira. Continues bleeding into the next period of zivish, now she's still tahira. I said, what's your problem? Where did Rabbi Meir say that she wasn't going to become a nida any time during that period? Could you explain that to me? You make up your mind that when it says how much dam, how much could she possibly have had labor pains, and you're saying, well, doesn't that mean that she's going to be tahira? What do you mean, doesn't it mean? No, it doesn't mean. That's like the riot that Avraham Avinu must wear a yarmulke, right? Whoever it is, I mean, it's the same riot, wherever you look. I mean, if it says, Vayashkim Avraham Baboka, obviously he was wearing his yarmulke. I mean, what kind of obvious is there?
What's the importance
of the 40 or 50 days? You tell me. You tell me what's the importance. If she's a nida, she can't go to the mikveh for the end of the 7 days.
What do you mean by 40 or 50
days? He meant exactly what he said. I understand. Are you a loving husband? Would you like a woman to be able to go to the mikveh? She goes to the mikveh. No? Now what's wrong? So now she bleeds tomorrow. Ah, but tomorrow is Zivas day. Zivas day is star. So it's, I don't need to know that for 40 or 50 days this could go on.
It's a medical statement.
No, it's a halakhic statement. Because the dam is all dam of birth, but remember that the Torah was only matir. The birth pains during Yemei Ziva. But certainly you're going to want to know that this woman can go to the mikveh at the end of the 7 days.
She only saw blood during the day, then she stopped. Yeah, that's why she
could
go to the mikveh.
She saw blood for 1 minute or she had some spotting. Is the most common situation before birth, so she's having contractions, a little bit of spotting with the contractions. According to Rabbi Meir, the way Levi's interpreting it, Rabbi Meir is saying it. She goes to the mikveh, and then the next morning she spots again, she's tahara for 11 more days. And then on the 12th day after that, so she'll become Tameah for 7 days, but then again she'll be able to go to the mikveh. And then the next time she spots again, she's going to be Tahar. So that's an extremely important thing to define, isn't it? But there's nowhere in Rabbi Meir's statement that it claims that all through these 40 or 50 days she's Tahar. I don't even understand why you would have thought that that's what it meant. It's just a prejudice. So you turn around, because you're used to thinking that Dam Koshi is Tahar. So because that's the way you're used to thinking, you turn around and you're ready to throw out my Shita. You never said anything about that. It's just defining it as Dam Koshi. The din of Dam Koshi will be defined by the particular days, obviously, that she suffers it. But you certainly need to define what it is, don't you? Okay.
So what is it?
Leave me alone.
What are the eligible times for Rabbi Meir? You could be become a Zalman Gedolah.
What?
What are the eligible times to become a Zalman Gedolah? Throughout the whole 40, 50 days, or still near the later?
There's no time. She can never become a Zalman. That's the point. That's why we're defining it as Dam Koshi.
This is assuming she has pain with all the blood.
Yeah, whatever Dam Koshi is. We're not addressing that at all. Lishnachmi. Now there's another report of this whole machlokas of this conversation. According to the Lishnachmi, the other approach goes like this. Rabbi Levi said, "Ein havlad mitaher, ela yamim aruyim liyotem zavak dola." The only time that she's tahar are where she could have become a zavak gedola. So then she doesn't have to keep. In other words, if she saw 3 days, there's no din of her making the shivas nakiyim and so on and so forth. But suppose she saw 1 day. Then that 1 day is still mechayev her to be a shomer yom keneged yom. The Torah was only being makir 3 days in the 11 days, and therefore, how do I know this? Because when it says in the pasuk, what was the whole marker of the heter? Dama machmat atzma velo machmat blat. Correct. But that word dama appears in the pasuk together with yamim rabim. Yamim Rabim is where we learn out 3 days. And therefore, if it wasn't Yamim Rabim, so then the Torah was never matir this halacha of Dam Koshi. And you see that from the pasuk, Yamim Rabim. So now, if her Koshi goes on for longer than this, then of course, she's got to be Tameya too. Abba Shol Mishmei Rav Amar Afilu Yamim Haruim Hiyot Bahem Zavak Tana. That's not true. Even on days that she only would have been roy to be a Zavak Tana, she's also considered to be Tahora completely. Maitaina Yimei V'chol Yimei. Basically, we learn out the extra words of Kol Yamei Zov Tumata. Why is it Kol Yamei Zov Tumata? Kol Yamei Zov Tumata tells me the halacha that all the days that are shayach to Zivas, even though it's not shayach to get 3 days together here, so it's only on the last day she starts to be Roya, and now she continues being Roya afterwards, it's still shayach to be Matire her from the din of Zivas. Now, in this version, we ask like this: Tanakh, Kama hu kishuya, Rabbi Meir Omer afilu arboim v'chamishim yom. According to this version, it's kasher l'tarvayim, because even Rav in this version is meida that we can't include the day of Nidais. We can only include days that began during Zivas, right? Okay, so how do we ever get 40 days? Same question we asked in the first Lashon. To Levi, we asked in this Lashon to both. In the first Lashon, Rav was saying that even days that are ra'ui to be counting the Taira of the Zivas. That's not what he said here. Here he was arguing on whether you needed to have 3 days that were available during Yemei HaZiva. Okay, But Lamaisa, this would be Kasher Latavayr, because it says now that you can have a 40, 50 day period in which, at least we think, in which you remain Tahar. And in this version, both of them answer the Teretz that lay the answer. Mika Tani Tahorav Bekulan. It doesn't say that she's Tahora. It just says it has a din of Koshi. Karshta Bimeinida Sanida Bemeziva Sotahera. Same Teretz that lay the said. I'm only defining this as Dam Koshi. But I'm not telling you what the din of the Dam Koshi is. That depends on when it occurs. If it occurs during the 11 days, it's Tahor. If it occurs during the Nidai's days, it's Tamei. Tanya. Hayah Rebbe Meir Omer, Yesh Mekasha, Me'ava Chamishim Yom, Ve'en Ziva Olaba. Even though I told you in the Mishnah, maximum days of Koshi is 50 days. The truth is, though, if you work out a case, I can show you where a woman was bleeding for 150 days straight and never became a Zava Gedera. How is that possible? Very simple. She starts bleeding on the last 2 days of the 11 days of her cycle, right? She's in the middle of Yemei Zivos. She has 2 days left of the 11, so she bleeds on days 10 and 11. By definition, she cannot become a Zava Gedola yet, because she only has 2 days of Zivas to bleed in. In order to become a Zava Gedola, she needs to be able to bleed 3 days during the 11 days between Nidais and Nidais. Okay? Of course, she's Tamea as a Zava Ketana. We're only looking for a way that for 150 days straight, she will not become a Zava Gedola, despite that she was bleeding continually, for 150 days. So we start with 2 days of the end of her last 11 days. Then she bleeds through the next 7 days during which she's in Nida. Okay? Then that gives you 9 days. Then she bleeds for the next 2 days, which is 2 out of the 11, not enough to make her a Zava Gedola. Okay? So now you've got 11 days of bleeding straight. And she's still not a Zava Gedola. Okay? Now, she then starts having labor pains. For the next 50 days, she's bleeding. Okay, so now we've got 61 days of bleeding. The Vlad is Matayer, that Dam, from Zivas, so she'll never become a Zava Gedola. Again, she might become Anita, according to the Sheet of Levi, but she's not going to become a Zava Gedola. And then she gives birth. She gives birth. And now, for the next 80 days, she's not going to become a Zava, because she can't become a Zava during her 14 days. She has a girl. She can't become a Zava during the 14 days. She continues to bleed for the next 66 days. That makes no difference, because the Torah says that's Dam Toah. She's still bleeding. Okay, so she's now got her 80 days, and she's got now 61 days from before. So she's got 141 days of bleeding so far, okay? Her 80 days ends. Now, that first Dam that she's going to see is Dam Nidais, okay? She bleeds for 7 days, Dam Nidais. She's now up to day 148. She now starts her 11 days between one Nidais and the next, but she only bleeds 2. So now she's bled straight for 150 days and never became a Zava Gedola. The Shnayim Shalachar Anida.
This 150 is not prior to the birth.
Not prior to the birth. It includes the 80 after the birth. And bleeding after the 80. Yeah. Right. Omrullah, so they said to him, look, I mean, if you're looking for Kunsim, then you could already come up with a case in which she bleeds the rest of her life and doesn't have any Zivas. Why? Because she could have gotten pregnant during the 80 days of the Nekeva, and now the whole thing starts over again. And you could keep doing this ad infinitum. She keeps bleeding before, right? Gets into bleeding before her delivery of this obviously immature fetus, which is now a Nephil, and starts the whole thing over again. So they said to him, Ken Yesh Mekasha Koyamea? Vein Ziva Olaban. So why don't you say that a woman complete her whole life and never become a Zava Gedola. No, my lamps are, may have said to them, because you're making a big mistake, gentlemen. My daat taicha, what are you thinking? I mean, obviously, the only thing you could be thinking is that she got pregnant again. Well, it's all very nice. I mean, but how old is the fetus by the time she aborts the fetus? What, is it 2 months old? There's no din of koshi for a 2-month-old fetus. Ein, my shita is that ein koshi l'nefalim. The Torah was never matir, birth pains, for an immature fetus. And therefore, your case is not a good case. Tana Rabban, yesh ro'a me'ayon ve'ein ziva olam. It's possible to have now a Rhea of 100 days straight without any of the koshi and so on. We're not talking over here about utilizing koshi samach v'leda. That Rebbe Meir already showed us. But even without that, you could still have 100 days of bleeding and never become a Zava. Look, let me show you. You start with 2 days of the end of the 11, okay? And then you go into the 7 of Nida. And then the 2 days after the Nida, that gives you 11. And you have a baby the next day. That gives you another 80 days. So now you've got 91 days. After the 80 days, you bleed another 7 days. And then that gives you 98 days. And then you have the 2 days of the beginning of the 11 days to come, gives you 100 days. So there you go. Without any problems of utilizing labor pains. No labor pains. So what's the chiddush over here? The chiddush is, lafuki miman diomar, iyev shalat tichata kever belodam. Because, look, I mean, if you're going to say that prior to the leda, I mean, obviously you needed to have the cervix open. So in that opening, according to the man diomar, who says, iyev shalat tichata kever belodam, there had to have been some bleeding before. So we should have included that bleeding in Zivas already, because that wasn't yet the Leda. Kamash Malan, the Epshel of Tichat HaKever below Dam. The Chiddush is that doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily implied. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Daya Chodsha. Look, during the 9th month, fine. But that's it. You can't say that if it's some time that isn't during the 9th month, that you're going to be matir her, and she's not going to, the dam's not going to be tani. Tani Rabbi Yehuda, Eimim Yishum Rabbi Tarachan. Daya Chodsha. Look, all that we can give her is this month. Yesh B'davar HaKelu L'Achmir. Now, I'm telling you something that's a kula in that, and I'm telling you something that's a chumra in that, because what do I mean? Ketza. Kashtash Naim. Let's see. In other words, sometimes I'm gonna, because of my psak, it turns out that nothing is tohar because of daya chodsha. And sometimes it turns out that because of daya chodsha, she ends up getting over a month. How is that? I'll tell you like this. Koshta shnayim besof shmini. Let's say that there were 2 days of koshi at the end of the 8th month. The echad betchilas hachi, and that one at the beginning of the 9th of the I don't care until betchilas hachi yalda, even if she gave birth immediately now. Too bad. And raising your letters bezov, this is all going to be a later bezov because the 8th month doesn't count. Avokashta yom echad besof shmini, v'shtayim betchilas hachi, and as a matter of fact, afilu besof chi yalda. I don't care. If it started in the 8th month, in the 8th month there's not enough time to go one day, she didn't become a Zava. So now, she continues to bleed the whole month. The whole 9th month. And the bleeding started at the end of the 8th month. There's no problem, according to me. She's not called a Yoletis Bezov. Correct? Because what do I care? Even if at the end, Yotaina, but what, understand, if she continues to bleed, and you're saying she only suffered labor pains at the beginning of the month, why wouldn't she be now Shofi, some of Laleda, to be Metame retroactively? So Rashi's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, of Daya Chodsha, is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is no din at all. It's the halacha, according, that's what he means when he says, is what he's saying is that the last month is considered to be the time of the Leda. Any time in this month. Which means that he is not referring to the ninth month of the pregnancy, which is supposed to be Sholem. He is referring to the ninth month of the calendar. The calendar month of the pregnancy. So that when he says Daya Chodsha, it means the objective month, whenever that is. If Rosh Chodesh is announced now, today, and the Leda is tomorrow, and it turns out that that was the ninth month, then she only had one day. But if the Leda turns out to be at the end of this month, because it happens to be that Rosh Chodesh turned out the beginning of her ninth month, so then it's Lahakil, then she gets the whole ninth month. And therefore, says the Gemara, what he seems to be saying is, Omer Vada Barava, Shmamina Kasev Reb Yehuda, Shipura Gorim. Apparently the shofar that they blow in Beis Din that calls this the month is the thing that defines the dam as being later dam. If it occurs during the ninth month, not the ninth month of pregnancy, but the ninth month that is available for the pregnancy to be here, whether that happens to coincide with the real ninth month, or it's actually a tenth month, so to speak. In other words, we're just starting now, and for her, there's only one day left of her pregnancy, but we're starting now the next month. This is the ninth month, then. Is that possible? A woman would in no way have a gestation period that could be measured, assuming that we measured it from the moment, because we don't know when conception is, but we may know the moment that conception was possible. This is basically the way doctors figure it. Okay, you figure out her, based on her menses, you figure out when her ovulation was. And the assumption was that, ovulation, that would be the time that she became pregnant, which is obviously a very inaccurate way of figuring anything out. Because even if she had ended up, let's say we know precisely when intercourse took place, wouldn't make any difference. Because she still has 3 days of viable sperm available before she necessarily conceived. Therefore, you have a 3-day spread from the moment of intercourse to define the length of her gestation. The gestation is 271 days. However, it could go on for 272 or 273 days from intercourse, assuming that there were only a klita of the zera 3 days later. As long as the sperm remains viable, she could have gone into conception at any one of those days. And Shmuel is saying, look, that's a given. You will not, has nothing to do with what month it is. It's not the month that the Beis Din says, it's the number of days from conception to the birth. So how could Rabbi Yehuda say that it has to do with the shofar in the Beis Din to define daya chodsha? By the way, Tosfos learns that the whole diyuk of Rabbi Yehuda's dependent on the shofar is the word chodsha. Chodsha seems to imply an objective month. Okay. In any event, whatever the raya is, it seems to be going keneged Shmuel's maimer over here. Answers the Gemara. There is, in fact, such a shita. And what Shmuel was going, according to, was the shita, which is called the shita of the Chasidim HaRishonim. The Chasidim HaRishonim were very worried about Chilul Shabbos for the birth. So what they would do was, they would figure out how long it would take from the moment of intercourse to birth, and they would make sure that it was impossible for their wives to have to be Mechallel Shabbos to get to the hospital. Right? So the Chasidim HaRishonim lo ayu mishamshim mitotehem ela berevei b'Shabbos. They would only use Wednesdays, and later on the Gemara is going to explain it means Wednesday after Wednesday and beyond, because otherwise shelo yavol nishotehem lidei chilul Shabbat. This way, because if you divide the 271 by 7, so it's the modulo 7 will leave you either the 3 days, or if it's 272, 4 days, or 5 days, and therefore you have to make sure on a Monday that the birth is going to be taking place the next Shabbos. But Wednesday, or Thursday, or Friday, you're only miss Shabbos with modulo 7. So Mamela, clearly the Hasidim HaRishonim, and this is the sheet of Tanoim, clearly the sheet of the Hasidim HaRishonim is that gestation is fixed. But Rabbi Yehuda wasn't going according to the sheet of the Hasidim HaRishonim. These were a specific sheet. So he's saying if the gestation is not fixed in terms of days, then indeed it's the shofar that's guarding. But wait a minute, says Gemara, what do you mean Wednesday? And no other day? Raviv is Suva. No, I mean, Ema Miravi Ve'elach. I mean, from Wednesday on till after Shabbos, no problem. Omar Marzucha, my time, I had the Chasidim HaRishonim. Where did Chasidim HaRishonim get this gestation from? The Chti Vayitain Hashem La Hirayon. God gave to Ruth Hirayon. If you look at the Gematria of Hirayon, it's 271. Since you know that the sperm is viable for another 2 days, you have to be chayshish for 272 and 273. Omar Marzucha, Afila l'mani omar yoledes l'tisha ene yoledes l'mekutaim. Even if you hold that a woman that is delivering in her 9th month has to have the entire month, that's only true about a fetus with 9 month gestation. But a yoledes l'shivas, we've explained many times, in antiquity, it was believed that there was a different gestation, and children were born at the end of 7 months. So if she has a 7 month baby, she could actually be yoledes l'mekuta'in. She could give birth right at the beginning of the 7th month. It doesn't need a whole 7th month. Shenema vayilut kufot hayamin vatahar chana. Now, how could Chana give birth in tkufot hayamin? Miu tkufot, shnai. Tkufot has to mean a minimum of 2 tkufot. But each tkufa, remember, is 90 days. There are 4 tkufot in a year. So there's 90 days, okay. So that's 2 tkufot plus yamin. Miu yamin shnai. So that means that in 6 months and 2 days, she had Shmuel already. So you see from there that you don't need the entire 7th month. You just need to be nichlas into the Chodesh Hashvi, and then you can already have a child.
Is that medically?
There's no modern medical record of such a thing, of a gestation that's less than a normal gestation. But you find all through antiquity there was... Of course, but they're not mature. Here in the Gemara, it's a 7 month baby, meaning it looks exactly the same as a 9 month baby. It's completely formed in 7 months. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, Ein Koshi Yoter, Mishte Shabbat. Maximum we'll give you is 2 Shabbatot. For Koshi, beyond that, it's not because of the birth. Omar Shmuel, Maitam, Ayodar Abanan. Where did they get that from? This is in the Pasuk. Remember that the whole limud was utumea shvuayim kenidata. So we were medayek. Yes, kenidata she became tmea, but not kezivata, meaning that her ziva is tahara, bechalal de zivata tahara. That is the basis of the limud we had before, that dam koshi is actually tar from ever becoming dam zivash. And it defines how long that is. Shvuayim, says the Pharisee in the Pasuk. So for 2 weeks she can have dam, that would be tame if it's nidata, but wouldn't be tame if it's nivata. But if it's beyond 2 weeks, then already it would be matame, even the mezivata. That's where they derived it from. Tana Rabba, Yesh Mekasha, Esrim V'chamisha Yom, V'ein Ziva Olabe. Now, the Brisa says you can have a case where there's 25 days of koshi without any zivas. Kesa. Shnayim below it. Okay. It's a typical case we had before. Two at the end of the 11, seven of nidas, two after the nidas. That gives us 11. Then birth. Okay. 14 days where the blood itself is matayer from zivas. You don't need koshi. The blood is matayer from zivas. Now, so, Mamaisa, that gives you 25. But, you can't get to a situation, Iyev Shashi Titkashe Esrim Vishisha Yom, below Vlad, below Teyol Letters Bezot. You can't have 26 days without a birth, and she shouldn't be considered to be a Yol Letters Bezot. What are you talking about without a birth? Without a birth, even 3 days without a birth would be enough to be Matamir, right? Because if there's no birth, if there's a shofi at the end, now the dam becomes retroactively tamei. It was clear it was not zivas that was koshi, it was real zivas. So what do you mean without a birth? I understand what you're talking about. 3 days is enough, but talks in amisai. On Rav Sheshes, I'm sorry, we read that wrong. Ema b'mokom sheyesh vlad. If you've got a vlad, then once she goes 1 day beyond that, then already she's going to be a Yoledes Bezov. 1 day beyond the 25. Because we can work out 25. But if she had started earlier than that, if you hold that the Torah wasn't Matir that early the Dam, so then she would be Tamei. So Omar Le Rava, it says, Rava, you know, that's a brilliant explanation except for a minor problem, which is that it says there was no Vlad. So, I understand. Your answer is, no, actually it says no blood, but it means where there is a blood. I don't go in for those kind of answers. So, let's see if we can find an answer. Well, you remember that Rava always does this, right? This is, Rava does not put up with these, well, it really means answers, ever. He says, well, yeah, but you know, why don't we look at what it says? So, it says below blood, let's explain it below blood. Ela maravata. What it's saying is like this. First of all, of course there is an initial opening statement. You can't have koshi more than 26 days without it landing you up into trouble because we're not being matu more koshi than that. Fine. But if there wouldn't be a vlad at all, Ella Nafel, and all there would be was a nafel, not a vlad shokayoma, then you wouldn't get any koshi. That's what it's saying. And there, betlatanami aviyazava, my taima in koshi lenefelim. The reason being that agavishu, this is coming to teach us. That's why it says ain vlad. That b'mokum she'ain vlad, meaning not literally ain vlad, but ain vlad shokayoma, that the vlad is immature and it can't live. And over there, you would not get koshi, dam koshi, at all. Okay? So according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, who dash in Shvuayim, you only have a maximum of 14 days. So how would you possibly have had 26 days of koshi where the maximum that we could take off was 14? And so in other words, if you're going to start before the birth, then you've got a problem because it's before later, it's definitely going to be a zava. The most you could figure out is 14 days prior to the later. Okay, what else is going to be left? Three more days is already going to make you a zava. There's no way to avoid that. Okay, so therefore you're certainly going to end up with a problem according to those shittas. Obviously if you hold Dayachotcha, or if you hold 40 days or 50 days, and then there's no problem at all. But according to their shita, this price is following this shita. Okay, gentlemen, I see that everybody is hopelessly confused. So it appears. But we did learn some nice, new, exciting issues today, right? I think. Okay, we'll review now. But some of the new things that we learned, remember, were that it's possible to talk about Dan Koshi not being Tahar. It's still called Dan Koshi. We learned the various meanings of the maximum shear for Koshi. What it means, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, what it means, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, what it means, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yeshua. We learned the possible cases of maximal pleading that could end up without having a problem of zivus, according to the various shitas. We ended up discussing what period the Torah was matir zivus, whether it's only during the 11 days, it's koshi, whether it's even after the 11 days, in the opening maklokas of asurjim. So a lot of issues became certainly clarified. I'm not denying that there's some loose strings that still need to be maybe tied up. But in Yirtzeh Hashem, as we chazer, that will happen. Okay, and as we continue. Don't get discouraged. Things get easier.
Let's go to the other.